Hi everyone, good morning. It's Emily here. Welcome back to the Hashira Half Hour. As always, today I am joined by Brian and Hannah.
What's up, guys? I'm the change that the Fire Nation brought to the world, Brian. Because, you know, everything changed when the Fire Nation attacked.
Everything.
What's up, guys? I'm Hannah. That's rough, buddy.
Oh. That is, in fact, rough, buddy.
Wait, what?
I mean, yeah, it's rough. Your girlfriend's a moon spirit. You got charged by the Fire Nation, and you tried to 1v how many people with a club and some children? Yeah, that's pretty rough, buddy.
Poor Not soccer. Ideal. That's for sure. All right. Well, welcome back. We're really excited to have everyone here. This week, we're going to be taking a look at episode 9, the Tamari Demon and Arrow Demon episode. Something that really interested me during this episode were the different partnerships that we get to see come into play, sometimes for the first time. So I think I just want to kind of discuss this episode with that frame in mind, the partnerships that we get to see. So up first, the one that comes to mind for me is, of course, our first exposure to the title characters. We have our Tamari demon and our Arrow demon, Yahaba and Susumaru. This is our first time getting to see some of the Kazuki, or two of the 12 moons, the demons who serve Muzan directly as part of his inner circle. What are some of your first impressions of their partnership and the fighting that we get to see in this episode?
Oh my gosh, this whole episode is just like fight scene after fight scene, and I love it. It's one of the reasons I love Demon Slayer so much. Definitely the two most powerful we've experienced outside of like this short introduction to Muzan that we got, but definitely seeing like this power of the Blood Demon art that they can do and realizing that, hey, this could be the power of the 12 demon moons and what Tanjiro is up against and how much it is a struggle. Absolutely incredible. And shout out to them for literally having met like when Muzan summoned them the episode before, and being able to work as a team so well, so quickly as demons that, you know, usually are very not teamwork related. So definitely, wow. Like if this is just the beginning of what we're up against, we got a lot to go.
Yeah, I like them a lot. Kind of with piggybacking from Hannah, right? We've seen demons who are usually very individualistic and very towards their own goals. But in this moment, I think it's kind of interesting how we see both these demons' goals align exactly. So their individualistic goal actually supports teamwork, which is super interesting for the villains. As well with kind of how these villains operate and their weapons, I love the way that they are actually able to attack. I think that's a partnership style that I think kind of Muzan put together, is a directional control with the same bludgeoning force of a ball in Tamari. And I think that's really interesting in itself, because when you're in a fight, right? Or, I mean, not that I've really been in a fight, let's be real here. But, you know, when you have both ways or two different ways of attacking, it's pretty strong and you're going to put up a good fight. So I think it's a really interesting aspect to look at too.
What do you mean, Brian? You don't know thunder breathing? I thought you did.
You know what? I like to think I know these things and then they just don't happen in real life. And I'm like, ah, man, I did not Hinokami Kagura, you know, my essay last night. So.
Oh, man. Well, I think that I totally agree. They are some pretty formidable opponents. These are, you know, Tanjiro and Nezuko have fought some demons before, but again, this is their first brush really with an actual fight against Muzan and his direct horde. So it's more intense, I think, more quickly than some of the other fights that we've seen. And it's a bit unclear right now, I think, how everything is going to play out. So Tanjiro and Nezuko, I think, here are facing a challenge that once again tests the limits of what they've already tried in those other fights so far. But I do think that something that's unique about this fight is that they, while they're facing those two Kazuki or the two moons, and that's unique to them, they also have this unique advantage that they're being aided by the partnership of Tamayo and Yushiro. how do you think that the assistance from these two demons that are cooperating with them might have also influenced or might continue to influence the direction of this fight?
It's interesting because, again, right, we see that inner faction split, right? We see how there's two sets of demons here who are essentially working against each other, but they come from the same progenitor. So you get that very same, like, ah, we have the same master. Shouldn't we understand each other? But I think as, you know, Tamayo and Yushiro lean into Nezuko and Tanjiro trying to, you know, support them in eradicating demons, they're only coming back harder. They're like, you guys were and are our opponents right now, and I don't care. I need more of Muzan's blood. I want more power. So it's really that continual, like, almost, I don't know, like pushing into each other or a tug of war from either side. It's just like the more force you add in from one side, the more the other comes back with.
Yeah, and kind of an interesting thought I was thinking of, like, obviously in this fight, Tanjiro is really the only one that's truly in danger, because we see Yashiro's head get knocked clean off at the very beginning of this fight, which the first time I watched this, I briefly thought he was dead, but he was fine. So Tanjiro is really the only one that's, like, actually truly in danger. Like, if that ball hits him wrong, he's dead, you know, because he's a human. He can't regenerate his head. And he the whole time is like, I need to protect you. I can't protect you. You need to get out. And they keep reminding him, like, we are demons. We will be fine. And I think that really influenced the fight, because, you know, Tanjiro was ready to take them on, like, by himself. And then he kind of had to realize that he needed to accept their help from both Tamayo, Yashiro, and Nezuko. And he's kind of realizing that maybe, okay, these are two very formidable opponents, wow, and I need their help.
Yeah. Something that I noticed in this episode too was just that he did need the help, for one thing, even if that wasn't where his initial thoughts went. His initial thoughts are, of course, to protect. That's just, like, his nature, I think. Mm-hmm. But they don't really need the protection, and as a matter of fact, he needed it much more, and we get to see him get some, like, divine assistance, I think, in this episode for the first time, with the like, talisman or the sigil thing that he gets from Yushiro to be able to see, because he's like, I don't know how to fight this guy with the arrows. Like, I'm just being thrown around right now like a ping pong ball. What can I possibly do? He's like, and Yushiro's like, you don't see that? Okay, let me help you so that you actually stand a fair chance in this fight, because without this, you wouldn't be able to. So I don't know if that was, like, something that was begrudgingly given from Yushiro, but I do think it was something that would have made a pivotal turn in the fight for Tanjiro as well, and given him a fair advantage, I think.
Because he brought that up, I've got a line to go through here. First off, it feels like Yushiro was like, come on, man, copy my homework and make it look a little different. Like, that's the vibe I got from that. Second, trying to play the Arrow Demon in the Hinokami Chronicles, the Demon Slayer video game, literally most difficult character to play. You're just waddling around, trying to shoot things left and right, and you're literally missing, getting slayed by, you know, obviously the Slayers. So, just two quick things there. But also, when we talk about Yushiro helping Tanjiro, it again comes from kind of the tandem thing that we just talked about, right? How their goals align. Tamayo's goal is clearly to, you know, reverse demonism and try and eradicate that. Yushiro's goal is to support Tamayo in any way. And unfortunately for him, he does not like Tanjiro and he thinks Nezuko's ugly, but serving his master, you know, supersedes his own wills to, you know, watch Tanjiro suffer. So I think that's really interesting too, about how their dynamic works to support further.
Yeah, I feel like Yashiro, he doesn't like Tanjiro, but at the same time, like, he kind of is like, I could see him being a friend, but he's, like, refusing. He's, like, fighting against the fact that I think that he's, like, I kind of like this kid, but I'm gonna act like I don't. That's the vibe that I get from him.
Yeah, I feel like he doesn't really like anybody other than Mayo.
He is completely and utterly devoted to her, and that is it.
You like Tanjiro, don't you, Squidward?
Oh. Not Squidward.
No.
clarinet breathing first form.
Don't make me spit out my coffee.
Sorry.
Wouldn't it be a beautiful sound for a podcast?
Oh, man. All right. Well, I mean, so there are a lot of partnerships already at play in this fight, and you've got two sets of separate demons that are kind of combating against each other. They kind of recognize each other, I think. They know, like, Tamayo and Yushiro know that these are two of the 12 moons. The two moons also know that, like, this is somebody that they refer to as a runaway as well. Hopefully we'll get to find out a little bit more about that in an upcoming episode. But they're also interested in, like, bringing her in, too. So it's interesting to see, like, the combat that's kind of going on there. But, of course, at the heart of everything is still, like, our two heroes and stars, Tanjiro and Nezuko. We get to see them employ their own skills again as also partners in this fight. And in the past, we've already discussed some of their similarities and their differences in the way that they approach some of these fights. But do you think that they're beginning to find a rhythm or any methods that suit them a little bit better? Do you feel like it's improving?
Yeah, I mean, I was having a conversation with someone a while ago about Tanjiro's relationship with Nezuko, and I was thinking about the fact that he didn't want to bring her into a fight. You know, like, his natural disposition, like we talked about earlier, is to protect. So if Tanjiro had his way, he would never bring Nezuko into a fight, you know? Like, she would stay in his box on his back and have absolutely nothing to do with the fight because he wants to protect her. That's, like, literally his life's mission. But I think he's starting to understand that not only does he need to let her help in the fight, but she also is extremely needed sometimes because of her power. You know, he's figuring out that her demon power is going to help him. And, you know, as we saw in the last fight, without her, he would not have made it through. And, you know, without him, she would not have made it through. So I think he's starting to realize maybe that their fighting styles work together as a team rather than, you know, oh, maybe I'll get her help when I can, or if it's absolutely needed. Other than that, I'm going to, like, make sure that she doesn't have to fight. He's kind of just allowing her to join the fight almost immediately.
Yeah, I think Tanjiro's, you know, I guess maybe call it his fatal flaw, right? He feels that he holds all of the weight to protect his sister and to protect those that are around him. And it's very relatable to, like, a larger scale concept, right? In the sense that, you know, people aren't able to accept help when they're at their points of low or when they're in their most difficult moments, right? They believe that their inner strength only comes from what they can produce and how they can navigate the situation. However, you know, we see that getting support in those moments and getting, you know, Yushiro's sight, getting Nezuko to, you know, become a kickball star and get those balls right back is what he needs in the moment, even to breathe. And even if Nezuko is just a distraction for his enemies, right? Because they see another demon, but, like, they get a different aura from her, it buys him 3 seconds to get another strategy in, right? So he needs to rely on, you know, other people in order to develop his own strength. And I think that just comes back to real world experience, that it's a reminder we need our people in our hardest moments.
Absolutely. And I could absolutely see that being something that's a struggle for him, given that he kind of was the person that, like, stepped up, I think, in his family in place of his father, like, after his father's passing. And it's just kind of how he's been. But the partnerships and the cooperation, I think, are necessary to even consider defeating these, like, old and established connections that these demons have. So on that note, do you think that it's just that they are improving, or is there, like, an element of luck here for Tanjiro and Nezuko as well? Is this like destiny, or is this, like, right place, right time? You know, they happen to stumble upon, like, a bunch of different demons in this one of these last episodes that we watched, and we were talking about, like, what are the odds that they would have, like, stumbled into Tamayo and Yushiro? What do you think? Is their fate, is it just dumb luck? Is it that they're convincing? Like, I don't know. What do you think?
It's hard. I don't know. Go for it.
No, I was just going to say it's a little bit of both. I know that's such a cop-out answer, but they're definitely improving in each fight. You know, we get to see Tanjiro's sword skills kind of take its own in the last fight. And in this fight, I feel like he already has kind of improved. I think he's learned from the last fight. I think he's someone who does that, you know? He doesn't see each fight as just a fight. He sees each one as an opportunity to learn. So I think that he has definitely gotten slightly better. I think she has kind of figured out more of her powers as well. So I think they definitely both have leveled up, even if it's just a tiny bit from the last fight. But also, I think that there is just kind of a little bit of luck kind of with how they just came to be into this town where there's all these demons. You know, first we find Muzan, and then we find Tamayo and Yushiro, and now we've, you know, come across these two demons that might help in, you know, getting the serum that we've, you know, just learned about the blood being needed. So definitely a little lucky, but also definitely getting better at their skills.
Yeah, I think this comes back to a point I made in earlier episodes, but, you know, in anime and I guess just as like a growth development thing, right? Whenever Tanjiro's in a very difficult situation, we see him again in these critical moments where he is, you know, on the brink of dying or, you know, winning the fight. And he always rises up to the challenge. Now, whether that's from his own motivation, whether it's from he didn't trip over a rock on his way over, like, whatever that may be, he's still, I mean, what? You gotta be honest, you know? There's like, ah, I'm running, you know, I gotta fight this demon. Oh no, a rock, let me dodge. You know, whatever, right? But even if it's either of those things, I think it's just so entertaining to watch this character grow in that way, because whether it's luck or not, it's still so powerful that he's able to persevere with Nezuko on his back or at his side and continually avenge and, you know, work through the traumas that he's had.
Absolutely.
Solid point that he'd bring up a rock. Like, we never think about that when we're watching these fight scenes and these TV shows and movies. And it's like, what if this character literally tripped over a rock at the wrong time? That would be the difference between life and death. And I would be the person that would trip over a rock. Like, let's be honest.
It's not a boulder, it's a rock.
You know, come and get... Oh! No, I'm sorry.
And then the demon standing there like, that's it? I didn't even get to throw a punch, man.
Whoopsie.
Start over?
No, but it's true. It's like, I think that there does have to be some kind of element of luck, but there is usually like some kind of element of destiny too. So mm-hmm. I think it's interesting, but luck or not, all of that aside, do you think we just talked about needing to lean on others for support. You would think that the humans in this show would not want necessarily to be at the mercy of demons, regardless of how helpful they are. Do you think that the outcome of this fight that we've seen so far insinuates that the cooperation of some demons like Tamayo and Yushiro is going to be necessary in order to succeed against Muzan, or could humans do it alone?
I mean, just based off of the knowledge that we've learned in this episode with Tamayo's ability to kind of come up with ideas on the fly to turn someone back into a human, you know, like she didn't know of Nezuko's existence until maybe an hour beforehand, and she already kind of has a plan. That, you know, clearly she has the smarts and the understanding of, you know, like chemistry to be able to figure stuff out. So I think this definitely is a step that shows us that having demons on our side could not only be helpful, but could be do or die for our team.
The humans have no chance. I'm sorry. They're dead. Without any demon support, like, it's part of any war that you're fighting, right? You need to have some intelligence. The British and the American Revolution, the French, Russia and America right now, literally every war example has that espionage aspect, whether it's direct spying or it's just intelligence or strategy-wise, right? They're demons, so they're able to predict any, you know, one-offs that someone could pull off, you know? So you need every piece of information you can when you're taking on this enemy that you know is far stronger than you are and is also just far more durable. From what we've seen so far, we know that humans are like twigs and demons are like trees. And so one wrong move and you're gone. So you need to be able to plot every second carefully.
Yeah, I mean, they can take hits and they can regenerate, you know, like we saw in this episode, like I mentioned earlier, you know, Yoshiro got his head taken clean off. If that happened to Tanjiro, he's done. He's, you know, he's not a demon. So demons fighting demons can be a bit of a long fight because they really can't kill each other until the sun comes up. But that also allows for them to keep going on with the fight when a human might run out of stamina or receive an injury that takes them out of the fight or get killed.
Absolutely. I'm excited to get to see a little bit more of these two characters, Tamayo and Yoshiro, and I'm interested to get to see a little bit more about, you know, this runaway business, because the whole thing that we talked about with Muzan before is that these demons that are subordinates to him are not capable of running away or from, like, disobeying any of his orders, and it seems that she's been able to do that. So I think that she's going to be really important and have a really interesting story and motivation for wanting to bring down this character. And I do think her cooperation is necessary. So I'm excited. Excited. Any other thoughts about this week's episode before we transition into our favorite moments?
I think you brought it up last week, but I just wanted to say it again. The Temari demon, Susumaru. Love the bells on the balls. Like, every time they just hit the ground or, like, they strike, just that, like, lovely audio choice. It just, like, it stuck with me after you brought it up last week, and all week long I've been thinking about, like, ah, ding.
That's ominous.
It's, like, the first thing I thought of when I started this episode was the bell sound with the balls, like, being the very first thing you hear. I was like, oh, the sound design. Yeah. Both demons, their character designs and sound designs are very interesting.
Absolutely. That wasn't going to be my favorite moment from this week necessarily, but I do think it carries over. The sound design, particularly the Temari balls, for sure. It's just ominous. It sounds like that, you know, like those tags that whistle on, like, the Japanese, like, death shrines that they show in... I don't know if we've seen them in this anime, but definitely, like, a lot of different ones. I mentioned Naruto last week, and that's, like, the clearest example, but it's definitely been in others, too. And just that, like, contrasted with, like, a child's, like, plaything is very dark. I like it. But that actually was not going to be my favorite moment, necessarily, that I brought up. I do think it carries over. But one of my favorite episodes this week, I think... maybe this is a little bit sadistic of me, but the animation of the fighting styles, too, that each of these new demons bring, Tanjiro's water breathing, too, of course, beautiful as always, but we have seen it before. We've seen the Temaris very briefly, but we also get to see the Aero Demon's animation for the first time in this episode, and I think it is just, like, so beautifully done. It's one of our first times seeing any, like, real fighting from the 12 Moons beyond Muzan, just kind of scratching somebody's neck. And they said they were going to try to kill them brutally. I think that they absolutely held up their end of the bargain. We talked just now about the child's play thing. We saw it rip apart an entire house, you know, just totally decimate it. And then we see Tanjiro also be completely thrown around with the arrows like it's a pinball game. And I think it shows the strength that those two must really have, but also kind of the immaturity and, like, the juvenile nature that they have, that they can just use these humans and other demons as toys, essentially, is what it looks like. And it makes me wonder if these are two of the more juvenile ones, what we might see when some of the upper moons are introduced. So,
yeah, I think, you know, as we're talking about villains, right, we know I'm a villain, Stan. We know we're here for it. But I love these two demons so much. And I don't want to steal from your moment, so I'll be here quick and then hop off this lily pad. But I love the way that they're using children's toys. I love horror movies a lot. Conjuring is one of my favorite universes, and I love, you know, the use of the Annabelle doll. And so, like, these things just really bring me joy, because I do enjoy that, like, ominous feeling of something that you used to hold very comfortable and very loving, and now it's, like, starting to decay and become into something that's like deadly, so that's perfect. But my favorite episode honestly has to be Mario Super Striker Nezuko over here, like her coming out and kicking the ball back, and then the demon being like, "Oh my god, you kicked it back at me! That is wild!" And so, like, I'm just amazed that she like kicked it back, and then she was like, "Oh, okay." Like, Nezuko's still a young, like, amateur demon, and like in retrospect with all these other ones who. We don't know how long they've lived yet, but we know that they live certainly longer than humans. So she's like coming out the box, really coming to like play with these demons, if you will. And she's putting up a solid fight. So I think it's a really interesting, you know, dynamic how she's able to just square up right away.
Yeah, it's such a good episode. I know we keep saying that. That's what makes a good show, right? Like, if I can look at an episode and have a hard time finding a favorite moment from it, I think, you know, that's a sign of a really great show and great episode. To go off of that, I think my favorite moment is kind of, there's two moments, and one of them is really dark because I love it when my favorite characters get like, absolutely just like pummeled in a fight. It's so weird. I'm like, yeah, pass out, that's great, I love that, get injured, it's cool. I can't explain it.
No.
Oh my god, so when Tanjiro just gets like tossed around like a rag doll, I don't know why I love it so much. It just, I think it's because it makes it feel more realistic. You know, you've got this main character that, you know, a lot of people say that he has plot armor. Maybe he does. He is the main character. That's fine. But to see him, like,
did you just say plot armor?
Yeah.
What is that?
Like main character plot armor, where it's like you survive because plot. Like, there's no real like reason to surviving other than the plot must go on. The show must go on.
Listeners, don't come for me in the comments, okay? I'm sorry. I literally have to get explained things in new terminology each week. So, you know, if there's anything else you want to teach me, drop a comment.
I mean, that's all over TikTok. And a lot of the Tanjiro plot armor jokes are really funny, but also sometimes it gets really old because I'm like, honestly, like every main character has plot armor because they have to survive at least until the end of the show, you know, to make the story. But I like when they, you know, get close or like, they pass out or they're super injured because it just like makes it feel more realistic. Like they're fighting a very formidable foe. So it's only realistic that bad things happen. And they're, you know, he's dealing with this like very new blood demon art and it takes him a minute to really figure it out. Going off of that, my favorite moment after that is right after that when he beheads the demon and that's how the episode ends. Him just being able to think really quickly, you know, with his arm and just being like, all right, I got to figure out some other way because otherwise he's going to keep pushing me away with the arrows and then I'm going to get tossed around some more. He's able to think on his feet very fast, which we've already seen quite a few times. And I think it just shows that not only is he growing stronger sword skill wise, but he's also even getting stronger with like his battle smarts. So, and the animation right then, I absolutely loved how they even like animated it so you just saw like multiple Tanjiros in one slide. I thought that was really interesting and I was like, okay, that's kind of new, I like it.
I agree.
I'm weird, it's okay,
we're all a little bit weird, that's fine. But I think that those were all some really great moments. Are there any other moments or anything else you'd like to call out from this episode?
I guess just like shout out to the creepiness of the arrow demon. Like, he's just out here living his best weirdo life with eyeballs on his hands and he like, ah. Like, it's just so like different. And I feel like that's the cool thing about this show. Obviously, like, we know what comes having seen the whole show, but like each different demon has its own unique like abilities. And I feel like there's not really a lot of crossover between them. Like, they are all very interesting with their, you know, own personalities and stories. And so I just really think that this is just another demonstration of how, you know, these villains, while they have the same overarching theme, have different niches that can catch different people. And it just makes it that much better.
It's funny you say that because I was just thinking about that the other day with like each demon having such a different power, but it doesn't feel like someone was just like pulling that out of thin air. Like it all made sense and was very interesting. And I love My Hero Academia, let me tell you. But sometimes I think there's someone in the writer's room that is just literally coming up with the randomest crap to make a quirk. Like I noticed that when I think we were in like the I think five seasons of what's come out. Yeah. So in the fifth season, I don't remember what the quirk was, but it was like a new quirk from a new person that we've
Spoiler
met.
alert! Possible. I don't know. I just want to throw it
Oh,
out there.
yeah. it's just like a new person and a new quirk that we learned. I don't remember what it was, honestly, but I remember looking at Jordan and going, where do they come up with these? Like, they're so random. And that doesn't mean that it's not well written. And they have to come up with a lot. But I think it's interesting that like it's kind of similar with demons because they all have these different powers, but I never felt like it was just super random. I was always like, okay, like that's cool and interesting and makes sense. It doesn't feel just like out of thin air.
Yeah, it feels very intentional. Cool. All right. Well, I think that that is about all the time that we have for this week. But thank you again for joining us. Don't forget to like, subscribe, comment, do all the things. If you do leave us any questions or any of those comments that we were asking you to leave throughout this episode, please go ahead and do it. You might get to see us answer it in a future episode. And exciting announcement this week, if you are local to the Phoenix area, we hope that we'll be able to see some of you at our Demon Slayer trivia panel at Sabaton Con on Monday, September 5th or Labor Day. Come hang out with us, play some trivia, maybe win a cool prize. We'll look forward to seeing some of you there, and we appreciate you listening in today. See you all next time. Umai.
Oh my.
Oh my.